Good morning, saints of God. And truly, as Mike and the group just sang, grace. Pretty incredible grace is. And I'd like to begin with a very incredible story of grace that concerns our church. And that is Cornerstone Christian Church. And a short time ago, we paid off the mortgage to this church. Amen. Totally, completely, in full, paid off. The original amount of the mortgage, it is a big deal. And that's something we can celebrate this morning. In these uncertain days, we can celebrate this, very much so. The original amount of the mortgage, rather, was $762,900. We paid off the mortgage in less than 15 years, and by doing that, we saved $202,600 in interest. Give yourselves another hand. Okay. And our church, this building, this house of worship, is now worth $1 million or more. So Cornerstone, we want to say thank you so very much. To the people that come here and worship, to the people that come here and sing praises, it's just incredible. Truly, grace. God's grace, it shines through this. This is a mighty house of worship. We proclaim the Lord's name in a mighty way. And we thank you so very, very much. And also, too, this morning, I would have you remember the family of Edie Moran. Edie's sister passed away in this last week. And just a week or so before that, her sister's husband also passed away. So right now, the Moran family is in need of prayer and thoughts and healing. So let's keep them in mind. And also, too, you know, it goes without saying, we live in very uncertain times today. And what we can do is something that Scripture calls all of us to be. We can be ministers to one another. So we would encourage all of our members and people that you know, talk to one another, speak with one another, text one another, call one another. You know, this time gives us all an opportunity. For the past 15 years, I've driven back and forth to work, in a traffic jam. Well, this past week, there was no more traffic jams. Mm-hmm. I drove past empty parking lots, empty malls and stores and things of this nature. And behind those empty doors lie broken hearts, broken dreams, and broken lives. So because of that, we owe it to one another to be good to one another, not to fall into fear. As my wife said this morning, let us never forget, like that old-time hymn says, he's got the whole world in his hands. Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands, little bitty babies, the young and old. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. And Lord, we live in very uncertain times, and we come to you today as children that are afraid, and we're searching, and we're uncertain. But Lord, let us remember that no virus can be greater than your love. No virus can be greater than your salvation and your redemption. And Lord, as we go through these days, I would ask you especially to keep in mind our first responders, the doctors, the nurses, the people that are every day fighting this thing so hard. I ask you to keep, Lord, in your grace, the people that are working every day to overcome this by finding a vaccine or a treatment to help people with this infection and this virus. Lord, I ask you to keep the unsung heroes, the people we might have never considered heroes, in your thoughts. The people that stocked the store shelves last night to give us food this morning, that stayed up all night long. The people that served us coffee this morning. All those people that perhaps never thought they were important, but right now, they're our modern-day heroes. Lord, we have so much to give to you. We have so much to ask for you. But let us remember, as long as we have you, how great truly thou art. And as long as we have your son, Jesus, truly, what a friend we have in Jesus. We have nothing to fear. We can go forth in confidence. We praise to your kingdom for now and forever. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hello. I'm following up on last week's service about Jesus. When Greg asked me to speak about Jesus, my first thought was, I really can't not do that because he's the most important person in the world to me. Kind of a way to start that off. Jesus, he saved my life quite a few times. And he is my king, my God. And I just want to tell you a little bit about him. And so starting in Romans 5, 6 through 8, it says, "For while we were still weak, at the time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is pretty straightforward. I think most of us would be willing to die for the people we really love. But for someone who you hate, or who hates you, or who ignores you, you probably wouldn't want to die. I know I wouldn't want to die for that person, but that's what Jesus did for me and for all of you as well. The Bible talks about this more than once. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." He loved us when we didn't love him. And then also in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5, it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And I've been thinking about what Jesus' death was like. He was crucified, and it's very shameful and humiliating. And he did that so that all of us don't have to live in shame. That's something that I'm learning about. And I guess really just my story is that I have failed Jesus many times, but he has never failed me, and he is faithful. Thanks.
I don't really know where you are right now. You might be in your living room. You might be in your kitchen. There might be other rooms. You might be lying in your bed, taking the opportunity to have a bit of a sleep in or something like that. And for some reason, you're watching this. But wherever you are right now, take the opportunity to exalt in your God. Christ alone, the cornerstone. He's Lord, and he's Lord of all. Amen? He's Lord, and he's Lord of all. Going back to Isaiah 43, it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, particularly for occasions like this. This is what it says. "Lead out those who have eyes, but who are blind, who have ears, but who are deaf. Gather all the nations together." This is God's plan. Go back a little bit earlier even in this chapter 43. He says, "I will bring your children." It might be that your heart is aching for your children right now, but I want to tell you that God says, the one who created us, the one who is leading and guiding us through these stormy times, he says, "I will bring your children from the east. I will gather you from the west." Wow. "I will say to the north, give them up. I'll say to the south, don't hold them back." This is God speaking. Don't hold them back. "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory." You feeling miserable right now? Well, let me tell you something. You weren't created to be miserable. You were created for the glory of God. Here it is, Isaiah 43, verse 7. "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and I made. Though you might be blind," though you have eyes and you might be blind, "though that you might have ears but are deaf, you will be gathered because the Lord is summoning you." Isn't that good news today? And of course, what Isaiah is doing, he's speaking forward to a time when Jesus Christ comes to this earth. Jesus came, as we've sung about, to set us free from the shackles of this fallen world that we live in today. That's what he did it all for. And in him, we've been raised up the word Jesus, and I believe it's up there. Thank you. Thank you so much for putting it up there. There it is. It's up there now. Jesus. That very name in the Hebrew means the one who saves. So you walk around. I don't know where you are. I said this before. You might be in your lounge. You might be in your sitting room. You might be in your kitchen. You might be in your dining room. You might be lying in your bed. But wherever you are, you can call on the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who saves. You can call upon the name of the Lord, because the Lord is the one who saves. Amen. God is good. Earlier this week, I was with some friends discussing declarations that have been made by men of God. Through the New Testament, declarations were made, possibly using these same scriptures that I've used today. Don't be afraid of saying things like, I am a child of God. That's a declaration you can make before God. Don't be afraid of saying, I am made whole by the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not born again by a father's will or a mother's ability, but born again from above by the Spirit of God. As we call upon the name of the Lord, the Jesus who saves, we can be born again. We can be made new creations in Christ Jesus. And you can make that declaration today. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus today. This is good news. These declarations are powerful, and they're mighty. And there's power in declaring the word of the Lord. He's Savior. He's Redeemer. He's Lord. He'll bring you through. Many people are very anxious at the moment. And a friend of mine, John Christensen in Canada, he sent me Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And if we pick it up in verse 6 there, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't hold back with what you would ask God for. Don't hold back. Don't hold back, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great that we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a declaration that we can make. The peace of God is in my heart. It transcends all of my understanding, and the understanding of all the armchair quarterbacks that are around me transcends all of their understanding of doom and gloom and all of the things that we see around us. Yeah, we acknowledge that things are not good right now, but call on the name of the Lord and see your situation in the midst of all of this stuff that's happening. God will transform you from the inside out. You are born again of the seed of Christ. You're born again and made whole in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are able to state these declarations as a result. I am a child of God. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I have the power of God within me, and I am able to speak life and health and hope and happiness to the people around me. There are so many anxious people, so many fearful people, but this is not a time for the Christian to be fearful. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that you are made to carry the image of God. You're made to carry the image of God. Where? For such a time as this, right now, in the face of this great turmoil and hardship and darkness that we're facing, this coronavirus that we're facing, you have been called to bear the image of God to people who are afraid and who are anxious and who are fearful. And my friend sent me 5 steps. He said, remember that the Lord is near. That's number one. At all times, remember that the Lord is near. I state that the Lord is near. The Bible says he's closer to you than a brother. In fact, it goes on to say that he is within you. And this is something that we often forget, that our kingdom does not consist of Republican or Democrat or the Queen or any other great person on the face of this earth. But Jesus Christ lives in our hearts. His kingdom has been established in our hearts, and he is in our hearts. He is the king of our hearts. That's how near he is. He is within us. And so this is a promise that we can declare and experience and rejoice over. So the Lord is near. The second thing is, be anxious for nothing. Don't be fearful. Turn your face to the Lord. Peace and fear can't share the throne of your heart. Jesus Christ is there. And so we pray from a platform of standing before Jesus Christ and him standing within us. We have peace from him. The Lord is near. We are peaceful, be anxious for nothing. The third thing is we're able to pray. Simply fix your attention on the person who is in the midst of your heart right now. Fix your attention on God. Establish a connection today with God and cry out to Him. Sometimes we need to make a desperate cry for help, but we need to do these petitions. We need to make these prayers. We need to understand that right now, Paul says that we're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we can speak to our Father in heaven and give Him thanks. That's the fifth thing. Give Him thanks. So try to remember these things. The Lord is near. Be fearful for nothing. Pray and petition the Lord our God and give Him thanks. Another friend, actually your father, Margaret, reminded me of the spiritual weapons of warfare, and they're found in 2 Corinthians. And so if we could put 2 Corinthians up there, please. 2 Corinthians, here we go. For though we live in this world, right, what's in this world that we live in now? There's a lot of anxiousness, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety. For though we live in this world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And one of those weapons is prayer and supplication. And nothing stops you from being a person who prays. Nothing stops you from being a person who makes petition on behalf of the people around you, on behalf of yourself, on behalf of your family, on behalf of your friends. Look, there are people, I read somewhere this week, and I kind of hope it's not true, but in Washington State, the unemployment rate rose by 515%. You think of all of those people who are used to gathering in their tips and their gratuities, who, because the bars and the restaurants are closed, they're not receiving anything right now. Just remember the fear that is upon them and pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them by name today. So join with me in praying, using prayer as one of the weapons of our warfare. Father God, today we pray for our leaders. We pray for those in our government. Father, we thank you that we stand in Christ Jesus and that, Lord, we have a power that is greater than any power that is on this earth. That in our hearts, Christ Jesus reigns. And we are able to express ourselves through our mouths and make these declarations of peace in this nation, of health over this nation. That, Lord God, you will provide for those, even through your believers, Lord God, even through those who are kind-hearted, you would provide for those who at this moment don't know where their next meal is coming from. Father, we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus. All those that need healing, that, Lord, need deliverance. All those that need to be made whole. Lord, the tormented who need to experience godly peace. Father God, we lift them up and we pray for each one, including ourselves and our families, right now in Jesus' name. And why do we do this? Because Jesus is our cornerstone. That's a wonderful song. Let's sing it again. Can we do that again, Mike? And we'll close with this song, Cornerstone. Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. One of the great privileges I have is that I get to declare blessings over people. Before I do, I want to remember folk who are closed in. I want to remember people who are overseas. Some of our missionary friends, I've received notice from them, they've chosen to stay overseas, miles away from their friends and relatives. They've chosen to stay there in the nations that they've been called to. Oh, we pray for them. We pray that they won't be lonely, that they'll have Christ comforting them and keeping them. And so I want to pronounce this blessing for them and for those that are closed away and for us today. I want to say, God bless you. God make His face to shine upon you. God give you peace as He leads you. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you all.